AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Celtic suffer a heavy 5-1 defeat to Ajax with just a week to go until the start of the Premiership season. Russell Martin admits he's a fan of Crystal Palace winger Jessurun Rakitić and Hibs draw their European qualifier, while it's a win for Dundee United. I'm Andrew McLean. Joining me in the studio tonight is Ross McCormack.
Yes, Andrew, as you said, I think it's been a great week for Scottish clubs in Europe. Good to see Dundee United clean sheet at home. Hibs, got to say, fantastic away to Mitchell in there. We go back to Easter Road with, a very good result, and hopefully they can do it.
Premier Sports Cup coming to a conclusion this weekend as well, and then it'll be all things focused towards the start of the Premiership season, start come Monday.
Yeah, look, it's been too long, hasn't it? I'm looking forward to it. All these weekends, midweeks without football, you don't know what to do around the house, do you?
Yeah, so let us know how you think your team's preparations are going. Celtic fans, it was a 5-1 defeat to Ajax last night. What did you make of it? What do you think of where the Celtic squad lies with just a week to go ahead of the start of the Premiership campaign? I saw Brendan Rodgers saying last night he was asked about Yang and potentially him leaving. He said no chance of that at the moment because he's a starter with the options Celtic currently have. So is that something that you feel needs to be looked at over the course of the next week by Brendan Rodgers? 01419511025. Rangers fans, we've been hearing a bit from Russell Martin today ahead of that friendly against Middlesbrough tomorrow. Of course, there's the second leg of the Panathinaikos game on Wednesday. A lot of talk about Jessurun Rakitić as well, who is a Crystal Palace winger, spent last season on loan at Sheffield United. Rangers interested in a potential loan move for him, but obligation to buy. There's been reports of figures 8 to 10 million. Is that something you'd be interested in? Or even the money side of things, does that maybe show that there is money to be spent for the rest of the window? 01419511025. Also good to hear from any Hibs or Dundee United fans on those European results last night. 01419511025. Let's go straight to the phone, shall we? Ian is a Celtic fan in Greenock. Ian, how are you feeling about things at Celtic?
How you doing, Andrew? How you doing, Ross?
All right,
good, thank you.
Hope you're a good week ahead of you, and great announcement last night, 7 days a week. I wish it was four hours a night. You know what I mean? Because there's that much to get through. I can't wait to do that again.
Yeah, for anyone that missed it, there was a new Sunday show coming to Clyde One Super Scoreboard, permanent 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. starting a week on Sunday. That's what Ian's talking about. So plenty. I'm sure there'll be a drama-filled season that we'll have plenty to talk about, Ian.
That's brilliant, Andrew, because see, 47, you've got the troops, whether it be Celtic, Rangers, Hearts, Hibs, coming back from their games, and yous are ready to take the calls. You know what I mean? With the team behind yous. But anyway, last night, Ross, you've been a player, Ross. Celtic were in the game till about the 60th minute. But I'm going to tell you now, Ross, you're an ex-player. I'm ex-semi-pro myself, etc., etc. Scales. Get shot at him. You pay $6 million for Austin Trusting, you can't get into the Scottish Cup final. Deadwood, mate. Scales is finished. Kieran Tierney, different player. Injury. We're up with Swanee because we've not got a backup. We've not replaced Greg Taylor as well. All right, I'm not saying we've not replaced Greg Taylor, Ross. We've brought in Kieran. But the two of them could have played in that team. I think I've said it before. Kieran, let's say the centre-back. Greg. I don't think Greg's a left back, Ross. I don't know what you think about it, because the boy's all over the park and he's creating and he's wanting to get involved. But we need reinforcements in, Ross. What do you think, mate?
I can't disagree with you when you talk about Scales and Trusty. I said it last season as well. No, I always felt there was a you know, there's a mistake in them. But regards to Kieran Tierney, I think the problem Celtic fans are going to have this year is because he's been down to Arsenal and everyone even loved him down at Arsenal, even though he didn't play a lot of games, they're expecting this probably different player to come back who is just a completely different level from the Kieran Tierney who went down there. It's going to take a bit of time. He's not played regular and you know, quite a while, so it's going to take a bit of time. I wouldn't be too worried about him. To touch on Greg Taylor, yes, I think Celtic will miss him quite a bit. Not in the left-back area where, you know, Kieran Tierney's going to slot in. I think some of Greg Taylor's best work is when he stepped into the central midfield areas from left-back. Kieran doesn't really do that, so they're going to sort of miss Greg in there. But to go back to what you said about the centre-halves, for sure, I'm with you, Ian. I think they need one or two in, because if in touch with it doesn't happen, Cameron Carter-Vickers gets a bad injury, then the players that they're left with are probably not good enough to get them to a level where Celtic want to be this season.
Yeah, Ian, do you not feel that there is that solid partner for Cameron Carter-Vickers going into the new campaign?
Well, Cameron has been injured prone, as Scott's been saying, and I only missed two games, Andrew and Scott, at Parkhead last year. The Kilmarnock game, which was, should have been trophy day, but we beat a week before against St Johnstone, and I missed the Fall Cup, who done well against us. I think they were beating us 1-0, 2-1, and Celtic ran out 5-2 winners. But what I will say, Scott, you've been in that area.
It's Ross McCormick that's in, by the way.
Ross McCormick.
Yep. I've been called worse, Ian, don't worry, I've been called a lot worse.
What did I say?
Scott,
sorry. I'm getting fixed up with Scott Allen, Ross McCormick. You've been there, Ross. You've played down south, etc., etc. You've played up in Scotland as well. But what I will say is the manager, if he doesn't get the players in that he wants, I don't care what any Celtic supporter says, Brendan Rodgers will walk. I know for a fact he will walk. Now, he's on his last year, isn't he? Ross.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So, listen, you want to get it sorted out up there, Celtic, because the league starts next Sunday in earnest. And Mung, I think, have brought in 9 new players. Okay, they didn't have a good... don't know if they're qualified from their section, Ross, have they?
Who's that, sorry?
Is it non qualified from the League Cup section? I don't know if they're...
Yeah, I think they have done.
Did they qualify, Andrew? I didn't know. But they didn't have a good start. But they've brought in 9 signings.
You know, I think Celtic will still go out and bring in at least 2 really top quality players. I think they've got to. Forward areas of the pitch as well, I think they're really light. You listen to Brendan Rodgers talking last night about Yang being a starting winger. Now, don't get me wrong, I think Yang probably come onto a little bit of a game last season. But to be of the standard nowadays to start for Celtic week in, week out, I don't think he's probably quite there yet. So I think they need another winger, and for sure, they definitely need a number 9.
Just to clarify, there will be a shootout between St Mirren, Ayr United, just to see who finishes top of that group. Arbroath in there as well tomorrow. But yeah, Ian, looking at that front line, does that feel weaker than it was come the end of last season? Obviously, Nicholas Coon has left. People will then go back to January, Kyogo leaving, Jota's injured. Do you feel that that hasn't been strengthened enough this summer?
Andrew, you're just hitting on the head. I've said to you before, and when it was a 2-hour show, we've not replaced Kyogo. We've not replaced Matt O'Reilly. And obviously Nicholas is just away. But Nicholas was hot and cold. But see, when Ross, you've been in the shoes, but I don't know if you played high up the park, but you were in the middle of the park a bit. So you did. You were a midfielder. But I think you might have played high. But you look at that big tie, it come up with Celtic and Bayern Munich. I think Kyogo's in that team, Ross. Celtic won the 2 games against Bayern Munich because we're relying on Dyson Mader, who had a great season last year, and a lot of people don't realise he's a number 9 for the Japanese national team. He plays as a direct centre forward, but you can't rely. I think, is he just signed a new contract, Ross? It was a 5-year contract, 4-year contract.
Dyson Mader?
Aye.
Yeah, but I much prefer him out in the wing.
I do, and I
tell you what, I'm actually a little bit surprised. I think Celtic probably let one go. In fact, that Kyogo's went to Birmingham. I thought Celtic might have tried in the way they did with Jota to bring him back in. Yeah. Yes, because he obviously knows the club, scored a lot of goals. But to say Celtic would have been through against Bayern Munich, I'm not so sure about that. I watched Celtic in every single Champions League game, and the amount of chances that Kyogo used to miss in the European games probably hindered Celtic. So Celtic had enough chances without Kyogo to probably go 2-3 up when they were over in Bayern. So it's hard to say if Kyogo was in the team they would have went through, but I think someone like a Kyogo, obviously it's not going to be Kyogo, but someone of that sort of ilk, Celtic are for sure a better team.
Is that a downgrade? If you look at Celtic's front three 6 months ago, Daza Maeda was playing through the middle, was player of the season, Nicholas Kuhn one side, Jota the other side. Celtic going into that game against St Mirren, looks as if Brendan Rodgers is saying that it would be Adamida, Maeda and Yang. Is that a downgrade for you on what Celtic had 6 months ago?
Oh, there's absolutely no doubt. No doubt it's a downgrade. And I'm not being disrespectful to Adamida and Yang, but to lose the two players that they've lost with the quality that Nicholas Kuhn and Jota have is going to be a big miss for any team, never mind in Scotland. It's, you know, they are two fantastic players and they've got to replace them. That's why I'm saying they need not, and it's not just needing numbers, they need real quality in that forward area.
Well, thank you to Ian, 01419511025 on the phones. Let's speak to Craig, who's a Rangers fan on the line. Craig, what are you thinking tonight?
Hi guys, good evening. Andrew and Scott, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Scott, it's Ross McCormick, or were you doing that as a joke?
No, so my main kind of point is I'm hoping that Rangers are able to get in a bit of width, because I was on, obviously, Andrew a couple of days before the tie against Panathinaikos, and I was saying I totally buck back Russell Martin, and I think he will do great things, because it's all very well he's saying he speaks well, but for me, James Tavernier, obviously me and Ross have had I don't know if Ross remembers, but me and Ross had a bit of a debate about James Tavernier in, you know, weeks gone by, in terms of his, you know, potential starting place in the Rangers team going forward. But the fact that James Tavernier's coming out and saying this is going to be a Rangers team that you've never seen before under his, you know, sort of decade at the club. And I was at the game. You know, and the way Rangers lined up, and I know it's a small thing, but they pressed. Panathinaikos kicked off the game and they were pressing so high. And okay, the first half was dreadful, but you've got to think back to, I know everybody goes on about Ange Postecoglou and Celtic and this, that and the other. He took 6 months to settle in Glasgow, maybe, you know, five, give or take, but that style doesn't just click overnight. You know, this is going to be a kind of slow burn for Rangers. But I think if you look at Russell Martin's formation, if you like, he needs wide players. You know, Gassaman or Gassama, however you pronounce his name, and this, you know, boy from Crystal Palace that we're linked with. That's a starting, you know, that's a starting point for it. But I think Rangers need natural width. Finlay Curtis and Dow, if you watched the other night, they were coming in the park all the time, and I know the two goals come from coming in the park, but I think for me, Russell Martin is going to surprise a lot of people this season, I think, and I was someone that was very, very much against the experiment of Russell Martin, but from what I've seen, there's a foundation there, if that makes sense, because under Michael Beale, under, you know, sort of other managers, you couldn't see what they were trying to do. You can see what Russell Martin's philosophy is from game one, and that's a big thing for me.
Yeah, I mean, some of it worked on Tuesday night, some of it didn't work on Tuesday night. That's only natural when it's in the early stages. But one thing that previous Rangers managers have been accused of is not having a distinct style of play. Rangers fans turning up to games not really knowing what they're going to see from their team. Certainly Rangers fans will know what they're going to see from a Russell Martin side. Whether it works or not, we'll see in time, but you know, you can see already that distinct style of play, and the players have already bought into it.
Yeah, and listen, I think it's quite easy to get footballers to buy into that style of play because it's good to be involved in. It's fun, it's energetic, it's, you know, it's a joy to play in. And the thing with Russell Martin is, yes, you'll see style of play, but he won't have a plan B. His plan B is just to do plan A better. He's shown that. But you hit the nail on the head there. I think watching Rangers last season, my main gripe was when Rangers had, say, 75-80% of the ball, teams would come to Ibrox and just sit in, and Rangers didn't really have an answer to go and break them down. I think Russell Martin's teams are probably built in a way where it gives them the best opportunity to break, like, a low block down. And I've said it, you know, all throughout the summer, since Russell Martin got appointed, that Rangers fans should be very excited with this appointment because he's going to bring a certain style to the team. And it's already sort of starting to show. Now, I think it's quite unfair of Craig there to say that it took Ange Postecoglou 6 months to settle in. I think he probably had a bumpy first few weeks. You look at that European tie that they lost. But then he went in a huge unbeaten run. And that was through getting the players to buy in. And I think Russell Martin will be the same.
Craig was talking about the wide areas. Could you see the style of play with Kieran Dowell, who didn't really get involved too much in the game? Did he? Finlay Curtis, obviously, you know, maybe had some moments where he was sort of learning at the start of the game. Obviously had a couple of great moments, the goal, the turn to get the Panathinaikos player sent off as well. But the introduction of more direct wingers like JD Gassama, potentially Jesser and Rakitić, is that more suited to Russell Martin's style, do you feel?
I think so, yes. I think it's a little bit unfair to sort of judge Kieran Dowell. For me, I've seen him playing a lot down in England. He was a sort of number 10, sort of more central-minded player. Finlay Curtis, just a young boy, done really well. He's probably not going to be a starter this season, let's be honest. Hopefully he gets quite a few minutes off the bench, more experience. But these boys that you spoke about, Gassama, and the one I'm excited about is Rakitić. I've seen him play a lot last year for Sheffield United and I thought he was electric. I'd love to see him come to Rangers. But these wingers are probably, you know, Gassama, Rakitić, people like that are probably more tailor-made for a Russell Martin style in terms of getting the ball out wide early doors, isolating people 1v1 and letting them go at their defenders.
How important are they for the system to work and click? Because, you know, reports yesterday that potentially if Rangers manage to get Jesser and Rakitić on a loan deal, there could be an obligation to buy. There were figures being banded about 8 million, 10 million, which is a huge outlay for Rangers. Does that just show? Yeah, on you go, Craig. I was just going to say, does that show the importance of those areas? If that turns out to be true and Rangers are willing to put that outlay in a winger, does that show just how important they are to Russell Martin's system?
Yeah, absolutely. I was just going to say, I think getting guys like Matondo and, you know, I know they're defensive minded players, but getting likes of Ridvan, Ben Davies, Matondo, one or two. I don't think we'll get both Dessers and Igeman. I think it'll be one or the other that leaves this window, but that's going to free up wages, that's going to free up transfer fees to go and get Rakitić. Just on kind of Ross's point on it was unfair to say about Ange Postecoglou settling in, the Celtic fans are phoning in this show under his, you know, first 5 months saying the inverted fullbacks, the high press, all this kind of stuff wasn't going to be working because they were dropping points on the road. They were winning their home games, but they were dropping points all over the place.
Really?
And Steven Gerrard went down to Aston Villa. I know this is, you know, go back in time, but Steven Gerrard went to Aston Villa and, you know, put a storm in a teacup kind of thing with Rangers. But I know it's revisionism, but if Steven Gerrard hadn't went to Villa, who knows what would have happened to Ange Postecoglou? Because Celtic fans were on this show calling for his head. So it is actually revisionism to say that
Ange, I know we're going over all old ground here, Craig, but if you look at his record in the league, Ange Postecoglou lost 3 of his first 6 league games and then didn't lose a single one for the rest of that season.
Yep.
It's a pretty good record from September onwards.
But, I mean, the Celtic fans on the back of losing 10 in a row were calling up their show saying, oh, we don't know about if this guy is going to be this, that and the other. And Rangers were dropping points. Steve Gerrard, you know, spilled points at Omi Hearts and Hibs and, you know, other teams. But he was still 10 points clear of Postecoglou when he left. And who knows what would have happened? Even Michael Beale, when he came in, was like, who knows what would have happened if we stayed? You know, that's what Michael Beale said. Who knows what would have happened if Gerrard stayed that season? But that's in the past. That's like 3 years, you know, in the past. And Rangers ended up reaching a European final under Van Bronckhorst. But I'm not being harsh on Ange Postecoglou because the guy's won a European trophy down at Tottenham. What I'm saying is that style of football takes time. James Tavernier has said, you know, it's a style he's never played under at Rangers. And as I was saying, on, you know, the other night, you could see the fullbacks were inverted. And Max Aarons isn't a left-back. That's cause for concern. But I think if Rangers get another winger in, if it's Rakitić or, you know, someone else and a left-back, I think I would trust Russell Martin to do very, very well. And listen, I'm not saying he's going to do Postecoglou and win the treble and this, that and the other, but Rangers need to start winning titles, and that's what the 49ers are here for.
Well, thank you to Craig, 0141 951 1025, if you get any thoughts on that. Maybe you are a Celtic fan and want to look back on that defeat to Ajax last night and consider what needs to be done before the start of the league season next weekend. Hibs fans, Dundee United fans, maybe you want to talk about your games in Europe last night, 0141 951 1025. But we're going to play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It is the final Beat the Pundit of the Summer League, and Ross McCormack still has a 100% record. Are you delighted about it? Are you nervous going into tonight?
I'm nervous. I'm always nervous about it. I'm delighted I've got 100%, but I would have liked someone else probably to play tonight and I can finish 100%.
Oh well, you could be the one to try and ruin Ross McCormack's summer. You can end his 100% record. If you're confident you can, ring 0141 951 1025 now.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Ross McCormack here with me, Andrew McLean, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Still plenty of time to get your calls in. Maybe you're a Celtic fan that wants to reflect on that 5-1 defeat to Ajax in a pre-season friendly last night. What does that mean for the squad going into the first league game of the campaign, which is just over a week away? Rangers fans, a friendly against Middlesbrough tomorrow. Jesurin Rakitić is the man that's been looked at from Crystal Palace. Potential obligation to buy of big money, according to reports. So is he someone you'd like to see come in? And then, of course, there's that Panathinaikos game next midweek. What about you, Hibs fans, Dundee United fans? Big games in Europe last night. Maybe you want to reflect on those, or maybe you want to look ahead to the final day of the Premier Sports Cup group stages tomorrow. 0141 951 1025. But let's play this first.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
I don't know what this says about you, Ross, but any time I've mentioned to any of the other pundits that your 100% record's still going, they're all surprised. None of them can believe it. So you need to prove them wrong, and you need to win and keep your 100% record for the summer and cement it today.
See, it's nothing to do with my knowledge of football. Actually, I back that, but it's, I don't know, this game makes me feel a little bit nervous, I must admit. Yeah.
Let's see if Lewis and East Kilbride can capitalise on those nerves. Lewis, have you played before?
No.
Are you nervous?
I am, because I've phoned in hundreds of times and I've never been picked, but now I've been picked, I'm a wee bit.
No, here we go. It's just going to be nerves all over the place. This could be a low scoring game. We'll see. How do you normally get along when you're playing at home, Lewis?
See, when there's no pressure on me, I'm absolutely fine. But
different ball game tonight.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how that goes. That's Ross trying to pile the pressure on you now. He's just deflecting about how he's feeling. Right.
He's got 100% to protect.
Exactly, there you go, put it back on him. Right, we'll put some Greatest Hits Radio in the ear of Ross McCormack so he can't hear us. Lewis, it's 30 seconds on the clock to answer as many questions as you can. Remember, you can pass as well if that helps you out. How does that sound?
No worries, thank you.
Right, let's do it. In what country did Celtic play last night?
Italy.
Calvin Bassey joined Rangers from which English club?
Leicester.
What nationality is Miksu Patalainen?
Finish.
How many Scottish Premiership sides play in Europe this season?
5.
What animal is Dunfermline's mascot, Sammy the Tammy?
Pigeon.
In what year did Setanta stop broadcasting the SPL?
2008.
Okay, we will bring Ross McCormack back in. Ross, can you hear us?
Yes.
Right, 30 seconds on the clock for Ross McCormick. Let's go. In what country did Celtic play last night?
Italy.
Calvin Bassey joined Rangers from which English club?
Leicester.
What nationality is Miksu Patalainen?
Finnish.
How many Scottish Premiership sides play in Europe this season?
Three.
What animal is Dunfermline's mascot Sammy the Tammy?
Panda.
In what year did Setanta stop broadcasting the SPL?
Ooh, 2014.
Miguel Freckleton signed for which top flight team this week?
Kilmarnock.
Okay, how do you think that went, Lewis?
Level, maybe.
Tell you what, Lewis was all right. He had a bit of help there as well, which is absolutely fine. I could hear some whispering going on, but that's absolutely fine. He's allowed some help as well. That's okay. In what country did Celtic play in last night? A nice easy one to start. They're playing in the Como Cup, so of course it is Italy. 1-1 to start things off. Calvin Bassey joined Rangers from which English club? Lewis confidently said Leicester. You swithered a bit and then said Leicester. It is Leicester City. 2-2. What nationality is Miksu Patalainen? Finnish is the correct answer. You both got it. 3-3. Good start for both of you. How many Scottish Premiership sides play in Europe this season? You said three and you regretted it immediately.
Straight away, yeah.
Because the answer is five.
Five?
Yeah. Celtic, Rangers, Aberdeen, Hibs, Dundee United.
Oh, yeah.
Five. Lewis said five. 4-3 to Lewis. He's got 4 out of 4 so far. What animal is Dunfermline's mascot, Sammy the Tammy? Lewis went for pigeon for some reason. You went for panda. The answer, a lot more straightforward. It's just a bear. So it remains 4-3. Neither of you got it. In what year did Setanta stop broadcasting the SPL, as it was called at the time? That's a tough one, I think. That's just a rough guessing game, isn't it? You went for 2014, which is too recent. Lewis went for 2008.
Aye.
The answer is 2009. He was not far off at all. However, that was as far as Lewis got. And Ross got one more question. And Miguel Freckleton signed for which top flight team this week? You went for Kilmarnock.
Could be a good guess or a bad guess.
Tell you what, it's a bad guess. It's wrong. St Mirren is the correct answer. It's a 4-3 win for Lewis, and Ross McCormick ends the Summer League with a defeat. Well done, Lewis. A signed ball that's on its way to you.
I knew I shouldn't have come in tonight.
Unlucky, Ross.
Cheers.
There we go. Lewis will be phoning in every night now. He'll be trying to keep his 100% record going.
Unbelievable. How did I get that European one wrong?
I know. You knew it straight away as well. Yeah. And then even after you had time to think about it, you still got it wrong.
Yeah, they got it wrong again.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, well. 0141 951 1025. Beat the Pundit will be back on Monday night. But remember, it will be back to its usual time, just after 7 o'clock. And you'll have your choice of playing one of two pundits. Well, not choice, really. It will be down to the coin flip. But remember, you can get involved from Monday at 7 o'clock for Beat the Pundit. 0141 951 1025. If you've got any thoughts on anything else, Celtic fans, we're looking back on that friendly against Ajax. Rangers fans, any thoughts on whether it's Panathinaikos, Middlesbrough friendly tomorrow, Jesserin Raksaki as well, the Crystal Palace winger who's been linked. There's also, of course, the European games last night in Hibs and Dundee United. Should we hear a bit from Russell Martin, actually, because he was speaking to Sky Sports today. He was speaking about Jesserin Raksaki, and he admits he is a fan of the Crystal Palace winger.
So I think there's a lot of players that will be linked with, some wider than Mark, some very close and some spot on. He's a player I liked at Southampton. We tried to take there and it didn't quite happen. So, yeah, he's a player I like, and I think he's a player the recruitment staff like, but how far that's gone, I'm not too sure. He's a really good player. I think we look at all sorts of different profiles that we think can help the team, so it doesn't necessarily have to be one type of profile. Players are very different. We just need the ones with the right mentality that are desperate to come and play here, and we'll see where we end up in 4 weeks' time.
Yeah, Russell Martin speaking to Sky Sports earlier on. I'm interested in that answer because I remember earlier on in the window, Russell Martin was asked about Jamie Vardy, and he basically said, I'm not going to speak about any players at all, really. We'll be linked with loads. Some will be spot on, some will be wrong. Similar to the start of that answer, but basically said he's not going to speak about him whatsoever. And it transpired that there actually wasn't any interest in Jamie Vardy. He actually went into a bit of detail there about Jesserin Raksaki. I could be reading too much into that. But interesting that he actually offered up the fact that he's a player he likes, he's a player the recruitment team likes.
Yeah, possibly. I think a lot of managers nowadays are like that, aren't they? They don't really get drawn on certain players, but I think you're probably right that the fact that he's actually spoke about this player suggests to me that there's something looking to be done. The fact that he's even went as far as saying his recruitment team like him, he could have ended it at him, but to bring the recruitment team into it is a bit of a statement there as well. I wouldn't be surprised if this is very, very close to happening.
Yeah, do you think that that is maybe a sign that it's closer than maybe people think it is?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm sure I said earlier on this summer as well, knowing how the 49ers sort of work since they've been at Leeds, you know, you didn't really hear of, you know, any players coming in, any players being linked, and then boom, there was a signing, a second signing came out of nowhere. So that's the kind of way they work. So the fact that Russell's come out and he could have batted that question away, the fact he's actually chose to answer it and talk about the player suggests it could be quite imminent.
Well, let's hear a bit more from Russell Martin speaking to Sky Sports today. He says tomorrow's friendly against Middlesbrough will be a good chance for some of their fringe players to prove themselves.
I think it's great. I think it's really good to have another game at Ibrox. Some of the guys who haven't played so many minutes will definitely play some minutes. The guys who played on Tuesday might get on the pitch as well, just to have a few more repetitions. So we'll see how the game goes. But I think it's going to be really important, especially for the guys who haven't played, like I said, as much yet, because we need to be able to see them guys and know that we can trust to put them on the pitch in certain moments. And I'm really excited and looking forward to seeing what they're capable of. Yeah, I think it's really important. I think it's a really good game for us against a really good quality opposition with Rob, a coaching staff, and Harry and AD as well that we know. So we know they'll be very well coached, that team. And it'll be a tough game, and I think it's exactly what we need right now.
Yeah, it is an interesting setup, just having that friendly at Ibrox in between the two Panathinaikos games. But can you see Russell Martin's logic there, that there will be players that haven't had the game time, haven't played, you know, in bigger games at Ibrox? This is obviously a friendly, it's not going to have the same intensity, but he'll want to see those players in that environment that maybe he hasn't had the chance to put out there and see what they can do.
Yeah, what it does is it offers probably, 35,000-40,000 fans at Ibrox. It's a different environment, like you said. And Rangers fans, probably prior to the Panathinaikos game, obviously, even when I'm not on the show, I listen, and a lot of them were calling in saying, you know, they haven't had many games at Ibrox or whatever. This is another chance for the players who haven't played there very often to sort of familiarise themselves with the stadium and the fans and the expectations. So I think all in all, it'll be a good exercise for the squad.
0141 951 1025 on the phones. We are going to speak to John in Coatbridge after the break. Any thoughts on anything else, give us a call. Just have a tweet there about the Beat the Pundit answer. Stevie O has tweeted in saying about the Sammy the Tammy answer, and he said, a panda is a bear. All pandas are bears, but not all bears are pandas. So that's all I'm going to say, Stevie.
Oh, you know, if I was Dazzler, I would be arguing that 100%.
And you'd be wrong. 0141 951 1025 on the phones.
Number one for football in Glasgow and the West. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Ross McCormack in the studio with me, Andrew McLean. We'll go straight back to the phones. John has been hanging on the line in Coatbridge. John, what have you got for us tonight?
Hi Ross, hi Andrew, thanks for taking my call.
No problem.
A couple of points, one a bit controversial, right? I'd like us to go and get Majovski, because I think he does run his race with Celtic, Ross. That's the first point.
And we'll take that first of all, John, and then we'll get to your next point. Do you think Bojan Majovski could be a decent option for Celtic?
100%, yes. I'm surprised none of the old firm went for him when he was leaving Aberdeen, to be honest. I watched them quite a lot, Aberdeen. I thought he was excellent. So to answer your question, yes, I think he would fit well into the way Celtic play as well.
John's saying that Adam Eda's run his race. He signed for £9 million last summer. He did score 20 goals last season. I know that he's not impressed, you know, quite a few Celtic fans that we've had on the phone. Do you think Celtic will still go out and spend big money on another striker on top of, you know, the £9 million outlay they had for Adam Eda last summer?
They've got to. Yeah, they've got to. I don't think the fans will be happy if they don't. You look at the money they brought in for Nicholas Kuhn. Jota's injured long term. I think they've got to go and do it. Whether it's Majovski or it's someone else, I think they've got to go and spend the money and get a high quality number nine through the door.
What was your next point, John?
I spoke to you, Ross, a couple of weeks ago, and I know he's away now, but I still, watching that game last night, I was dozing off. I was just back from Turkey. I was trying to watch it, and But Narovski, to me, never done it, put a foot wrong for Celtic. He really did. I thought he was, the big guy was brilliant, but obviously Roger's seen something he didn't. But to me, he was, apart from Carter Vickers, he was the best defender we've got. So I think watching that game last night, they're crying out for another central defender as well. You know what I mean? And unless it put Kieran Tierney in, the left centre back, and try and get like Josh Doig or something like that.
I actually remember having this conversation with you, to be honest, about Navrovsky. And I agreed with you at the time. I still agree with you. But for whatever reason, it's just one of them things that the manager doesn't really seem to, you know, rate him all that much, whether he does well when he plays or not. He just, you know, he's just not having him by the looks of it. So I think the writing could be on the wall there. But I said earlier on the show, I believe that they're short in that area, because if Cameron Carter-Vickers does get an injury and that's what they're left with, Trusty and Scales, and then another centre-half who they're not quite sure on.
Those were the options Celtic had last season. Cameron Carter-Vickers, Austin Trusty, Liam Scales. Mike Navrotsky didn't really play, and Celtic won a double. They got to the knockout phase of the Champions League. Well, is that, in, you know, do they need another centre-back to progress further, or... Where is the issue, the left centre back, and why is it a big issue if Celtic actually did okay last season with those options?
Yeah, they've done okay, but it's just looking, there's levels to this game as football. I just think that for Celtic want to be getting through out the group stage in the Champions League, I think they need a better partner for Cameron Carter-Vickers to go and do that. It's all right saying that, you know, these players are decent, Trusty was bought for £6 million, all the rest of it, but I think at the end of the day, for the level that Celtic want to get to now, they've got to progress, and that means getting better calibre of players.
John, was there anything else that stood out to you about last night, or just the squad generally?
Well, just as I said, I spoke to you, Ross, as well a couple of weeks ago about this, right? Not about the point I'm going to make, but about Lennon Miller. Now, this might be a bit controversial, but I wouldn't put him out to pasture, but I thought Celtic last night, I thought Cal McGregor, the last wee while he's played, he's been very pedestrian, and I think he's lost. I know he wasn't the fastest player ever, but to me, the way they played last night, it was dead, very, very slow, and I think it would be great if we got Lennon Miller in and sort of learn a bit from Cal McGregor and sort of share the work. But I think Cal McGregor shouldn't be an automatic choice now for Celtic. I don't know if that, maybe a bit controversial, but that's just the way I looked at it last night, mate, as a football fan.
Yeah, listen, you're a fan. You've got every right to see the game the way you want to see it, but I can't be anywhere near agreeing with that, to be honest. Callum McGregor, I think he's massive for Celtic. I watched it a couple of times when he didn't play last year, and they put Ingles in there. They just weren't the same team. He dictates the tempo of the game, keeps it ticking over. All the players round about him when he's playing seem to become better as well. Listen, it's a pre-season game. Unfortunately, the main thing for these players in pre-season games is not to get injured. That means whether you like it or not, they're not playing at full, you know, full speed and full capacity. I'm sure when the season comes, Callum will be 100% ready.
On Lennon Miller, Motherwell actually have a friendly tonight. Lennon Miller nowhere to be seen, hasn't been in the squad for any of their four Premier Sports Cup games. Jens Bertolaskou has kind of kept his cards close to his chest on that, despite the fact that Lennon Miller played, I think, 90 minutes in a friendly against Carlisle just before the group stages started. But just stylistically, Lennon Miller is tended to play a bit further forward at Motherwell. Could you see him being a direct replacement for Callum McGregor at any point, or are they quite different players, do you feel?
Yeah, I feel as if they are a little bit different. Plus, we were speaking about it there, Andrew, weren't we? The depth that Celtic have got in central midfield. You look at their starting three last night, Hatate, McGregor and Nygren, who I was saying to you, he looks unbelievable, looks a great find. The three that are on the bench is going to be Ingles, Bernardo, who was magnificent for Portugal 21s in the summer, and McCowan, who most Celtic fans were calling that should be playing more last season. So is there even space there for Lennon Miller without any of them going out the door?
John?
As you say, I'm not coming out to grow and criticise my guy, right? Because to me, I don't really care about the pre-season. I totally agree with you, Ross, being a professional. You're just wanting to keep yourself fit. It's just, sometimes I think we slow. I think it was when Scott Brown was coming to the end of his career as well. It seemed to slow the pace down a wee bit, Scott, you know what I mean? Just thought last night a bit, as I say, but they're not here out to get injured. I love Cal McGregor. As I say, I think he does dictate the tempo, but it's just, I thought, a couple of games I've seen him recently, he's not been his what he sell, but obviously it's pre-season, and I don't really look into it pre-season. I just like to see what they're doing. But just to say, my main gist is, I don't like criticising people, but he done well, and I think we were held to ransom last year with a $9 million fee. But don't be wrong, I think if we hadn't have signed him, it would have been, or the board's at the penny pinching again, etc. But I would just, obviously, the player I've been on along about, I'd just love to see Lennon Miller in there, you know what I mean, is it for a long term, because I think he would improve tenfold under Brendan Rodgers too. That's what I want in.
When John was mentioning Adam Ida and his transfer fee there, you look at Arne Engels, who was brought in for more, £11 million last summer. You look at the way Celtic have lined up in pre-season. There's been a couple of games where the midfield trio has been Callum McGregor, Rio Hatate, Benjamin Nygren, who, you know, has impressed in the early stages. Is it realistic to think that Arne Engels, you know, a year after £11 million having been spent on him, may not be an automatic starter for Celtic going into the new season?
Of course it is. Brendan Rodgers is going to pick the team that he thinks can successfully go and win him the title again. And if that's Benjamin Nygren, who all the signs point to in pre-season, who any time I've seen him, he's looked absolutely different class. Then Engels will, unfortunately for him, be sat on the bench. He'll lose, you know, he'll lose his place in the team. And that goes for any player. If someone comes into the squad and they're better than you, performing better than you, then they've got every right to keep the shirt.
Is Benjamin Nygren a player you're excited about, John, from what you've seen from him early stages?
I very, very much so. What I've seen him, he looks a steal, you know what I mean? But see, how could Lamada or whatever, how could he not play last night? Was there something to do with, was it paperwork or something?
Yeah, it was a Shin Yamada. It was a UEFA complication, I think, because the game is a tournament. It came under UEFA restrictions and there had to be certain paperwork that was passed, Celtic found out an hour before the game. I think initially he was listed among the substitutes, but Celtic were essentially notified that the right documents hadn't been passed. So whether he can play tomorrow night or not against Al Ahly, I'm not sure, but Celtic fans will need to wait for his debut.
Thank you, anyway.
Well, thank you to John. I think that is all we've got time for in terms of calls. Just to finish that chat on Benjamin Nygren there, I've seen a few comparisons online because he's quite big in Matt stature, O'Reilly. I think. So, sort of Matt O'Reilly, Tom Rogic. Can you see him sort of being that type of player for Celtic?
Well, I tell you what, he's got some shoes to fill, hasn't he? Because I thought Tom Rogic was unbelievable for Celtic. Big game player, always scored big goals. Then obviously Matt O'Reilly was fantastic. He had especially that one unbelievable season. He's moved down to Brighton. It's not quite worked for him. Looks as if he's maybe going to go again to another big club. So he's got some shoes to fill, but the early signs are there for Nygren that he's going to be a top player.
Just very quickly, Hibs, a good draw away at Mitchelland. I think a lot of people saw that as a very tough tie, but a 1-1 draw back to Easter Road.
Yeah, great result. And by the way, they could have been 2-0 up as well. I think Martin Boyle was probably, you know, half a yard off when he was going through, scored a second. So, no, that's a great, great result for Hibs. Not many people would have seen that.
And a 1-0 win for Dundee United that they will take into the second leg in Luxembourg. But that is all we've got time for tonight. And that's all we've got time for the summer show, because Clyde One Super Scoreboard is back for the 2 hours from Monday ahead of the new season. From Monday, it's going to be Gordon Duncan and the team back, Roger Hanna and Andy Halliday, in the studio 6 o'clock until 8 p.m. But there is more for the new season as well, because from Sunday, the 3rd of August, there is going to be a new permanent Sunday show for Clyde One Super Scoreboard. 4 p.m. till 7 p.m. is going to be the first place that you can give your reaction to all the weekend's action, or maybe if you miss it, you can listen on your commute where you get your podcasts on Monday morning. Join me, Andrew McLean, and the top team as well for 4 until 7 on Sundays. But yes, that is it for the summer. Thank you for joining us across the summer. Thank you for your contributions on the phones, on social media, watching on the live stream, or just listening at home. Thank you to Ross McCormack in the studio tonight as well, who gave up his 100% record at Beat the Pundit. That's going to be eating away at him all season. You've got to make up for it during the season now. But it is, as always, on a Friday night, the perfect way to kick off your weekend. It's the GBX.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Col Robert. Restore your alloys to a factory finish in no time.